very pleased, actually, to have as a guest one of Britain's great entrepreneurs.
Do you? Who is he? Well, or I mean, her, or she, or them?
This is him. A man. Well, I'll just address you straight, Brian. This is what I've got written down, right?
Oh, but
that you're responsible for.
No,
some...
I wasn't. Oh, sorry.
Well, you might. I mean, you could tell me if you are, but I've got just some of the things that you've done. The Brian Butterfield diet, the Brian Butterfield sleep therapy course,
yes.
The computer console, the Buttertendo. Innovations like the sushi sauna.
Mm-hmm.
He's here to talk about his new live business seminars. It's really Brian Butterfield.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm a bit nervous, actually. I'm a bit nervous, to be honest, because, you know, you just sort of been in my brain for a long time, you know, a bit inspirational kind of a person, you know.
Oh.
So I do get a little bit on the back foot, really.
I see. Well, it's an honour to be in your brain.
Well, you don't, I tell you what, it's a strange old place, but, I mean, you've got, the big tour coming up, the big dates of your seminars, and we'll come on to that in a little while.
Yes.
But, you know, I just also like on this podcast to find out about the little things in people's lives. Like, Brian, you seem like such a hugely successful guy, but, you know, how do you get into a studio like this? I mean, do you come on the train? Are you chauffeur driven? You know, what's your mode of transport? Do you mind traveling with other normal people?
With other normal people? Yes. I travel a lot by tube, pneumatic tube. That they used to be. They used to deliver mail all around the city.
Really?
Yes. I've got my own little canister that I use to get around. Sometimes I have to take the London Underground. One of my ideas, I hope it's going to come off, is a taxi train.
Ooh.
So you're waiting on the platform, the Northern Line. The next train is in 4 minutes, but another train comes in between and it's all black. And you have to hail it. Oh. So you have to be quick because they go very quick.
On the track?
On the track. God. Well, you don't have to stand on the tracks, obviously, yeah. But you do have to put your arm out over in the path of the train, so you have to whip it out fairly quickly. And you get on, and the driver asks you where you want to go, over the intercom, and you've got the whole train to yourself.
I mean, that sounds revolutionary. If you can pull that off, and what you're reminding me of a little bit. First of all, I can't believe that you've actually innovated this, like a sort of human version of the postal tubes from the olden days.
Yes,
that's mind blowing. But you're reminding me of something like Elon Musk, really.
Elon Musk,
because he does that. He had that kind of tunnel under California idea, didn't he?
Yes.
This sounds like
clever man.
Maybe he's taken a bit of a steer off you. I don't know.
Yes, clever man. I would say the world's most attractive man.
He is definitely like sort of very arresting, isn't he? You wouldn't mistake him for anybody else.
No, I know, very arresting. When you see him, you just imagine him arresting people.
Well, yeah,
and he's so funny.
Very funny man. Very
he's
funny
so
man.
Funny.
Very very funny man. I'd have to agree with that. And some of the tweets, the very funny X's that he does have me in pleats.
Yes.
I totally agree with you on that.
Yes, and his AI LLM chatbot is rather cheeky.
Well, but this again reminds me of you, because I've heard that you're attempting quite an audacious move. You're trying to buy the Currys chain of, is that the electrical superstore?
That's right, yes. I've been trying to buy that for a few years now. And my plan is to turn them all into curry houses.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get like a TV or something like that, or a toaster.
Yes, an audio lid or a...
Yes.
Yes, or headphones.
You're trying to turn them into actual Indian restaurants.
Indian restaurants, yes, curries.
No. Well, I suppose it does work in that, you know, you wouldn't have to change the livery at the front for a start.
Yes, I think so. And all I've got to do is come up with the money, and that's it.
Yeah.
Then the deal will be done.
I mean, you, speaking of things like that, you know, since I first saw you on the television screens and you know, sort of talking about the Brian Butterfield diet, for instance, and all those other things for which you're famous, that idea of the businessman, that idea of the billionaire, has become so much of a bigger thing, hasn't it? Your Duncan Bannatyne's,
yes,
people like Elon Musk, you know, people like that. You're coming back to do these shows. Do you really need to do them in the sense that, do you need the money? I wouldn't have thought you do. I would have thought you're an extremely rich man now.
Oh, I don't know really if I could. I don't really want to go into the details my financial money. I mean, look, if you want to check them out, if you're really insisting, Mr. Keaveney, then on my website you will find my bank account details, and you can go and investigate them. And believe me, I've got nothing to hide. Actually, don't do that.
I mean, right, your bank details are actually up there.
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, that's...
I've been meaning to take them down. It's people are plundering my account. Every time money goes in, it goes out. I mean, I should take them off my website.
Yeah. So, all that aside with the bank account stuff, you know, might we see you on the Forbes Rich List? Every time I look at it, I'm looking for your name. You know, I'm just wondering when you're going to turn up on it.
I know, me too. Actually, I'm not on it this year. I am on the poor list. I'm number one on the Forbes list.
Oh, that's a new one to me. The Forbes poor list.
Yes, yes. It's the largest, or should I say, smallest negative amount they've ever had at the top. So I suppose that's something to be proud of.
It really is. You know, to be number one in anything, I think these days, it's amazing, really, isn't it? You know, and also there's something quite zen about divesting yourself of worldly goods as well. You know, it's the sort of thing George Harrison would have done, isn't it?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
He didn't, obviously, a massive house and that, but it's the kind of thing he might have done.
It is, yes. And it's funny, though, because all his songs in the Beatles were about people taking his money.
They actually were. I haven't thought about that. Like Taxman and stuff.
Taxman, piggies.
Yes. For somebody who was very, ostensibly very spiritual and about getting rid of all that, he was annoyed when other people did actually try and take it off him.
Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. Is it true also that you, going back, like the Butter Tendo thing, you and the Pobs, I was hearing that you talking about a computer game called, like FIFA, but I think you call it Beefer, is that right? Is it
Beefer, yes.
Is that's something else that could be coming out soon, I hope?
Certainly, and it's not just a game. It's a whole... Football Association, the Butterfield International Football Association, and the Beefer game will be out on the Butter Tendo, hopefully in time for Boxing Day. For legal reasons, we can't use the any actual real team names,
of course. Yeah.
So we have Liverpool, Beverton, Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal.
Have you got Botton and Botspur as well?
Of course.
Yeah. And is the same? I mean, what about the players then? Are you using people like
Barry Bain?
Yeah. Bernaldo.
Bobala.
Yeah.
Bele.
Bele was, I mean, what a fantastic person to have in your fantasy football.
Bele.
But with any luck, though, that would be ready for just after Christmas.
Yes, I would say probably about 11:30 on Boxing Day.
You know, Brian Butterfield on the road doing his business seminar. You know, it's sweaty work.
It's very sweaty work.
It does look sweaty when we see you on stage. It's you know, there's big fans, but you still...
Yes, they're big, and the big fans are often the sweatiest fans.
It's true, yeah, they do look sweaty, the ones at the front.
Yes.
But if we were to ask you, how would you unwind at the end of... Like you said, Friday night, you've done a week of seminars... How do you unwind? Do you take a glass or two of wine? Are you a beer man? Do you like to go to a restaurant? What are the things that you like to do, Brian Butterfield, to unwind?
Well, to unwind, I mean, really, I suppose it's what a lot of people do. It's Friday night. It's probably 10:30, 10:35, say. I've finished all the seminars for the week, and I go home. And then I realise I don't have my keys, and then I go round to the back and try and shin up the drain pipe to get into my my room, and I eventually do. Eventually, with the help of neighbours and the police, and then the fire brigade. So it's probably about say 4:15 a.m. Right. I'm back in my room, and I just get into my sensory deprivation coffin, and it just removes all sensation from me, everything.
Wow.
I can't hear anything, I can't smell anything, I can't see anything, I can't detect anything telepathically. It shuts all senses down. And
wow.
Yes.
It must be like being dead.
It is a bit, yes. Yes, of course. I hadn't thought of that, yes. Yeah. It is a coffin, after all. It's quite comfortable. So I usually stay in there until somebody hears me knocking and screaming and as long as there's air left in there, then the... I will be let out a few hours later, usually by the police or fire brigade or angry neighbours, and they let me out and they say, well, don't do this again. I say, yes. And that's it.
That's an unwind on a Friday, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Something to look forward to, I suppose, isn't it? And where can... Are there any tickets left for people who, you know, desperate, which there must be many... wanted to come and just find out, just sit at the feet of you and try and suck up as much of this business acumen as they can. What shows are left? Are there tickets left?
Tickets left, yes. There are still some tickets left for the Apollo, in June. And
the Hammersmith Apollo?
The Hammersmith Apollo.
That is a big room.
It's a big room, isn't it? It's a theatre.
It's a big theatre.
It's a big theatre. So there are still, I think there are a few tickets left for that one. And then there will be other tickets available, I'm sure.
And what kind of things do you impart? If you can give us any sort of little clues, you obviously you've got many successes.
Yes.
But do you also refer to some of the things that you sort of that didn't go as well?
Yes, I mean, but I have... It's a business seminar. It's called The Call of Now. And it's, within the seminar, people come away from it armed with business knowledge and know-how.
Mm.
And yes, how. And they... I go through... I'd do some case studies of businesses that I've done before. One of my first, the proudest business failure I have is the Butterfield Sushi Sauna.
Oh.
When I first went into a sauna, which was by mistake, in Finland, there are lots of saunas there. Most places you see on the high street are saunas.
Is that right?
Yes, and I don't know about you, but As soon as I went in, the one thing I craved was sushi.
Mm.
Sushi. I'd got a contact for some discount sushi that I could buy in bulk for very, very cheap. And yes, I started this business, the Sushi Sauna. And, you know, you see, what they don't tell you about sushi is that if you leave it in a hot, humid environment,
yes,
it starts to rot,
yep,
and furthermore, starts to stink.
Yep.
Absolutely reeks. It's revolting. And so that didn't do too well, that business.
Did that put that tended to put people off, did it?
It did, yes. It caused a lot of illnesses. They eventually had to demolish the place because they couldn't get rid of the smell. Even the empty air that was left on the site where it once was.
Yeah. Even that, the space that it was in, that it used to inhabit, had to be removed.
Yes.
That's really extreme. And so it's great that you talk about your ignominious failures as well as you, because that, they say that, don't they, that you learn more from a mistake than you do from a success. They do say that. So maybe that makes you one of the wisest people in business, really.
I think the person who said that actually made a mistake.
Oh, that's ironic as hell, isn't it?
Yes.
So that you don't agree with that?
I do agree with it, but I think that I'm making a mistake by agreeing with
the mistake, yes.
Yeah.
Didn't I read somewhere, though, Brian, that you... Actually, you've had some really bad luck as well over the years, and did you lose all of your belongings in a hurricane?
It was in a hurricane, yes. And I didn't even know it was a hurricane because it was actually two hurricanes that met and caused a still hurricane. And which, if you were at the eye of this hurricane or even anywhere near it, you wouldn't know there was a hurricane.
Right.
And but somehow I lost all my possessions. I don't know how. I don't know. I don't know. If there are any hurricane scientists listening to this podcast, I would love to know.
So there was any, if there are any hurricaneologists listening right now, you can tell us about the confluence of, so basically two hurricanes coming together, like crazy.
They cancel each other out. They cancel each other out, but their power is tremendous.
Is it?
Yes.
So even though there you were standing in the middle of this double sort of super hurricane, you were in the sort of eye of it.
Yes.
And you didn't even
know
anything was happening.
I was more of the nose of it, I think. Yeah. But yes, it doesn't matter. You can't feel anything.
And
there's no wind.
And so then there's a tremendous of the power, and then that means that all your belongings just disappeared.
They just disappeared.
God, this is so weird. This is... But then this is what I mean, and this is probably one of the reasons that it's great to have you back, and it's great that you're doing these big shows,
yes,
and that you can sort of, you know, get the revenue back to replace some of this stuff.
Maybe some people will have found some of my possessions.
Well, if anybody has come across any of Brian Butterfield's possessions, you could contact us at the Daily Grind, actually, 83936. Start your text with the word grind, and we'll pass everything on to your management, Brian.
Thank you, thank you.
And, you know, we can't wait. But I know so many people, so many young entrepreneurs who are just so excited that you're back.
Oh.
And that really would love to come along to the shows. So please do, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I guess you do have a website because you've put your bank details up on it. What's the website for people if they want to see if they can get a ticket?
Sean, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh. Hang on. I'll tell you what, I can find out, Brian. Wait a minute. Because I've got...
Using Google?
I'm on Ask Jeeves here.
Oh, I see.
Which I find quicker.
Yes, he's good. I just feel... I always feel guilty burdening him with searches, you know?
He's got so much other stuff to do, isn't he? He's carrying that tray, isn't he?
Yes. Bringing a glass of port to his master or something. I don't want to get him into trouble.
No, absolutely right. And, I mean, if I just put into Jeeves here, because he seems quite amenable at the moment. Brian Butterfield's tour is confirmed, by the way. It is confirmed.
Is it?
Yes. Finally. It says it here. So I think it's all going on. And but what we'll do is we'll tell everybody exactly where to find the information.
Great.
So that's not going to be a problem at all for us. But what all I can say is, Brian, thank you so much for coming in to Sean Keaveney's Daily Grind. We hope you find some of your possessions in the near future. And just thank you for sharing your knowledge and experience with us today.
Thank you very much, Sean. It's so lovely to see you. It really is. It really is. You're very handsome, aren't you?
Thank you.
I know people say that to you a lot, but I can see. I'm under your spell.